I'm thankful to be in his house this morning. I know that this is the day that the Lord has made. And you know, there's so many times where the devil will try to get you down. And so right now I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. And you say, well, Pastor Kelly, we've been standing all morning. Let me tell you something. When everything in your life tries to knock you down, it's my job as your pastor to say it's time to get back up. It's my job as a pastor to say, now look here, you're going to stand to your feet, because the Word of God says when you've done everything that you can do to stand, then you just need to stand there, because see, the glory of God's going to be following shortly after that. So God, in Jesus' name, Lord God, I thank you, God, for everybody under the sound of my voice. God, Lord, let conviction fall where it needs to fall. Father God, Lord, let healing fall, God, in the bodies and in the hearts and in the souls, God, of your children, where there needs to be a healing. Lord God, for anybody, Lord, in here that's suffering with depression and fear and sadness, God, I ask you right now, Lord, to bring peace to that heart, God, that's troubled. Lord, I speak, God, to every inmate in Logan County Jail. God, right now, I just loose your peace, God, in your presence. Lord, in every person that's there, God, I ask you to go up in every pod, Lord God, set them free. I speak to chains of addiction. I tell them to be broken off right now in Jesus' name. Lord, you said you needed a binder. God, just said you needed a looser. So God, right now, Lord, I bind up, God, every hindrance upon this service right now. God, every distraction. Lord, right now I loose your presence. And Holy Spirit, I tell you that you're welcome here. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to welcome y'all to Parish Christian Center Church this morning. I don't believe in coincidences. I believe in divine appointments. If you're in this service, God brought you here. If you're in this service, God brought you here. God did not bring you here to beat you over the head, but God brought you here so he could wrap his arms around you and love on you. So if you came in here sad this morning, I want you to just begin to hand that over to God. If you came in here weary this morning, I'm going to ask you to right now give God an hour of your life. Begin to hand those concerns over to him. Why? Because, see, he cares for you. Because he cares for you. There's nothing that's gone unseen. So many times we feel like, God, do you care? I want to tell you that God cares. God, do you know what's going on? I want to tell you that he knows. God, do you know how many tears I've cried over this? He's counted each one. He's counted each one. So I want to encourage you this morning. Let God minister to you. Let the Holy Spirit comfort you. He's the only one that can. Amen. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to look at verse 26. And if you're wondering what is the difference in this service as opposed to every other service as well, the lighting decided it wasn't going to work today. Let me tell you something. It did that about 13 years ago, Brother Van, when I decided to get married finally. It was raining. It was storming. All the electric was out. Look here. God finally sent me a husband. I was going to marry him come hell or high water. Electric or not. I said, hold on just a second. IGA, the old IGA, had a generator. And I said, I'm getting my curling iron. We're going to go get done up in the grocery store. And I got my hair primped and curled for my wedding at the grocery store. Let me tell you something. Sometimes storms come. You best be going about doing what you're supposed to do. If it's storming, if every light in the place is out, if God told you to do something, you best do it. If everything has come against you, if everything imaginable has let loose in your life, I'm going to encourage you to put one foot in front of the other and keep going. Keep going. If you've fallen a million times, I'm going to ask you to get up one more time. One more time. One more time. See, God's there. He's there to lift you up. So many pastors don't do a very good job about portraying who God is. God's the God that says, behold, I stand at the door and I'm knocking at you. I'm knocking. I want to come into your life. I want to make your life better. I want to mend those broken places. See, a lot of people, they want to paint God as this God that wants to just beat people over the head. Look here. God's waiting for a chance to show you who he is. God's waiting for an opportunity to show you how good that He is. And most importantly, He's waiting to just bring you in. He's waiting to bring you in. And so this morning we're in Genesis chapter 1 and we're in verse 26. And you know what I've learned? I've been in ministry my entire life. All 35 years of it. And what I've learned is this right here. If your pastor cannot give you chapter and verse, if it ain't in the Word, it's not accurate. If it's not in the Word, it's not accurate. That's why I don't sugarcoat the Word. Because look here, brother, at the end of the day, the Word's got to stand and it's got to be exactly what it is. It's got to be exactly what it is. Why? Because if it's not exactly what it is, everybody's going to be like, oh, that's not for me. That's for the next person sitting behind me. I've had people get offended and say, you was preaching right at me and I don't appreciate it. And I'm going to tell you here, right here before we get started, I'm preaching at every last one of you. But let me tell you something. I'm preaching to myself first. I'm preaching to myself first. And so I want to make an appeal to you this morning. We've been talking about storms lately. What do we do when the worst thing has happened? What do we do when life struggles happen? What do we do when the unexpected thing happens? The Word of God tells you in the very beginning to have dominion, to have authority, to have control. So in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, God is making things. And it says, then God said, let us make man in our image. I want to tell you that you were made in the image of God. When it comes to you, God doesn't regret you. He doesn't wish that He wouldn't have made you. He's happy that He made you. He has a purpose and a calling just for you. And it says, let us make man in our image and in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock and over all the earth. Y'all say all the earth. All the earth. Keep it going. See, we're dying out. All the earth. You're supposed to be the boss. You're supposed to be the boss. Amen. Over all the earth. Why does the Christian, when the storm comes, act like a whooped pup? It's time to get up. It's time to stand. When you've done it all, stand. When you've done it all, stand. See, life wants to knock you down. Lucas, this is the time like never before to stand up. To stand up. To stand up. Why? Because, see, you've got Daddy God standing right there with you. You've got Him standing right there with you. And so it says, and over all the earth and over all the creatures that move along the ground. And so I want to tell you that from the very beginning, God gave you dominion. From the very beginning, He gave you authority. From the very beginning, He said, okay, this is the earth. Have dominion over it. Have dominion. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 17. We're going to look at verse 1. And we're going to talk about Elijah. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. And it says, now Elijah, the Tishbite from Tishbe in Gilead, said to Ahab. Now I want to back up here. Ahab was one of the most wicked people. He was wicked. God even said, this guy is worse than everybody else. He's worse than all the kings. He's awful. Now, if God says that about you, you're probably terrible. Okay? He was rough. He was bad. So here's Elijah, and Elijah's talking to King Ahab, and he says, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, whom I serve, there will neither be dew nor rain in the next few years except at my word. Except at my word. Look here. What Elijah was saying here to Nishas, he said, look here, dude, it ain't raining till I say that it's raining. That's how much power that he had. That's how much authority that he had. See, God's wanting the Christian believer to wake up, to sober up spiritually, and to look at those problems and say, in Jesus' name, I command you right now to have peace in this situation. See, at your word. See, Elijah said, it's not raining till I say that it's going to rain. Now, if that ain't gangster, I don't know what is. And let me tell you something. I appreciate a little gangster. I grew up with a daddy, and he was lots of gangster. Every time he rolled up in a new Suburban or something, people would go, all my boyfriends, they would go, is he in the mafia? And I would go, look, dude, I don't even know. Okay? So you better act right. He used to call it parking. He used to have his bullets lined up on the TV dinner tray. He'd be like, this is the one I'm going to shoot you with. You go parking with my daughter. They're like, what's parking? Then he explained it. I said, Daddy, they don't call that parking no more. They call it something else. He said, they got my drift, I promise you. But look here. Folks, you need to know who you are. You need to know who you are. Why? Because the devil is trying to steal your identity. He is trying to tell you who you are. And see, only God can do that. Only God can do that. See, your situations, your life struggle, your issues, they'll try to come in and they'll define you. But at the end of the day, you are exactly who God says that you are. And more importantly, He is exactly who He says that He is. And so let me tell you something. When Elijah said, hey, I don't care how wicked you are, bro. Look here. It's not going to rain till I tell you. Till I tell you it's going to rain. Michelle, the word of God says, stand up, look at the mountain, and you talk to that mountain. Why does God over and over try to get people to talk? Because look here, your tongue has the power of life and death just in your tongue. Just in your tongue. Why do you think God wants you to stand up when you're going through it? Because look here, that's all you got to do. If you'll stand up, you got the Holy Spirit backing you. You got Him backing you. But look here, you got to stand up and you got to open that mouth and you got to say, look here, marriage problem. In Jesus' name, you're going to come up into order. Look here, bad report from the doctor. You're going to line up with the Word of God in Jesus' name. See, when's the last time you just openly rebuked Satan for what he was doing in your life? When's the last time you just set him straight? A lot of people go, I'm going to give Sally Sue a piece of my mind. Look here, baby, you need that piece. Stop giving them pieces out. You're going to come up short. You keep giving out pieces of your mind. Keep them. Keep them. You need them. I need them. You don't think I ever think about pulling a shenanigan? I sure do. All the time. You got to know who you are. You got to know who you are. And God calls you highly favored. God calls you above and not beneath. He calls you the head and not the tail. And not only does He do that, but He says, I've put you in charge of all this. So look here, when things come knocking at your door that you don't like, you tell them where to go. You tell them where to go. How do you do it? First of all, with your mouth. Second of all, with your actions. With your actions. There's lots of folks should be here today. Honor God. Honor God. Because see, God's going to be honoring you. God's going to be honoring you. And so here's Elijah. And he says, it's not even going to rain. And furthermore, it's not even going to do until I say so. And God gave him that power. Why? Because he knew who he was. He knew that at the very moment of what he said, God was going to honor that. Look here. It didn't rain till he said. It didn't rain till he said. This building used to have an issue. It's weird when you become a pastor because you also become a janitor, a plumber, several other things that I won't mention. I've done some weird things in the past couple years. But what happens is it becomes your baby. And you get to knowing that baby like the back of your hand. You know, when your kid cries, you know if they're hurt or they're really just putting on just by the way that they cry. That's how this building is. Look here. When it rains really hard, like what we've been having, I know exactly what spot to go look at to see if there's a problem. And the only one that knows it better than I do is good old daddy back there. The other night when it rained, you never get too old for your parents to call you up. I'm like 35 years old. Dad's calling, babe, are you safe? I said, look here, Daddy. I'm about to go night-night. He says, you know there's a tornado warning, right? I said, look here. I'm ready to go. I'm ready. So I'm going to call it a night. And he just laughed. He said, okay. You know, but the next morning he calls me and he goes, did you go and look at such and such? He always does these things with me, and I don't know why, because he knows I don't get that. Did you look on the west side of the building, on the north of this and the east of this? And I'm like, okay, here's Walmart. Here's the church. Now, we're in the church. Everything in my vocabulary is, okay, Walmart is here, so we're right here. Which part of the church are you talking about? Now, I'm saying that to say this right here. Know who you are. Know who you are. Know it. Know it. God gave you dominion. God gave you dominion. Take that dominion. So this building, years and years and years ago, it had an issue. And when it would rain, the waters would come up and it would flood this building a little bit. It would come in through the doors. Well, one day, old Brother Angelo, he just got sick of that. You ever get sick and tired of the same thing happening in your life? Doesn't matter what you do. It just keeps on happening. And every time you go, you're right there in that spot. See, what it's going to take is it's going to take you getting sick and tired of being in that spot and taking some control over that situation. Now look here. I was raised in church. I was also at the church every moment of every second of almost every day. So one day at about 3 o'clock in the morning, he got sick and tired of this building flooding like it was doing. He gets out there and ain't nobody more gangster than Brother Angelo.
Gangster.
Gangster. That's right, Lucas. So here's all the deacons. See, I like when kids listen. This kid listens to me probably better than most of the adults. So he gets out there, Angel, and everybody's going, oh, Brother Angelo's upset. The building's flooding again. He just began to rebuke that rain. He rebuked it. He rebuked it. And look here, it just began to go back. It just began to go back. Look here, God told you you had authority at any point in time in your life. It's time for you to get sick and tired of being sick and tired of that issue, and you just rebuke it. You rebuke it. See, by your words. By your words. See, God spoke the world into existence. That's why your words are so important. When you're having a bad day and you're saying, this ain't never going to get any better. Guess what, baby? You just prophesied to your own self, because it's not until you tell it it's getting better. You best get to talking to that thing, because look here, that thing will be talking to you. See, you either going to talk to it or it's going to talk to you. What do you want to do? Lots of people having conversations with the devil. The devil's saying, no, it's really not getting no better. I know it's not. It's just going to be terrible. No, look here. It's going to turn around when you tell it to. When you tell it to. You got to know who you are. You got to know who you are. Matthew chapter 17. We're going to look at verse 14. And here's Jesus. And look here, once again, I'm going to give you several examples of people just taking authority over situations. And when they came to the crowd, we're in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 14. When they came to the crowd, a man approached Jesus and knelt before him, and he said, Lord, have mercy on my son. He said he has seizures and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water, and I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. Oh, unbelieving and perverse generation, Jesus replied, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? I love Jesus because he's like, you know, how long I got to put up with you? Ever wonder that? I know y'all's all nicey nice. You don't ever wonder about how long you got to put up with somebody. It's just me. ask that question mainly about myself. Lord, I'm getting on my own nerves today. Is there anything you can do to get me off of my nerves? And so he says, how long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon. He rebuked him. He rebuked him. Look here. Rebuke. Rebuke. You ever just really rebuked your kids? You just dressed them down to the point you even felt bad. Come on now. You ever rebuke your kids? I have. And I've been rebuked. He just rebuked the demon. He just rebuked it. He didn't rebuke the boy. He didn't rebuke the daddy. He rebuked the demon. He rebuked the problem. See, the problem was not the boy. The problem was the demon inside of the boy. See, many times, the problem is not your mama. The problem is not your husband or your spouse. The problem ain't the school teacher that you think is picking on your kid. Haley's like, yep. I got you, girl. The problem a lot of times, Rosie, is see, the devil, he knows just right where to get up in there. He knows your hot button. You got to rebuke that. When you see those troubles coming into your life, rebuke, rebuke. You look at them and you rebuke them. See, a lot of people, they don't want to look at their problems face to face. They want to deny there is a problem altogether. You can spend years of your life just, I'm okay, you're okay. Everything's fine, I'm fine, we're all fine. Look here, we are not all fine. We got problems in this life. There's a devil and there's a God. There's a heaven and there's a hell. They're all real. See, and God's waiting for people to just know who they are enough to say, you know what? Daddy God, I'm sick and tired of this situation. So from here on out, every time that thing comes up, I'm going to rebuke it. I'm going to rebuke it. I'm going to rebuke it. And so it says, Jesus rebuked the demon and it came out of the boy and he was healed from that moment. From what moment, Lucas? The moment that he opened his mouth and just rebuked it. From that moment. See, many times we're sitting here going, God, how much longer are you going to make me put up with this? God, do you care? Lord, what about this? God, it seems like this person's always getting away with this. Lord, do you see the family issues that I'm having? See, God sees that. Rebuke it. Rebuke it. Tell it. Open that mouth and talk to it. What I've learned is that everybody talks to themselves. We all do. I used to say, as long as you don't answer back, you're okay. Look here, I've started answering back. And I'm talking to myself all the time. And I'm telling myself, Kelly May. Use that middle name when I get really out of hand. Girl, you're going to stop. You ever feel yourself getting on one of your crazy binges? Okay, case in point, the other day, I was here and I was working in the food ministry. And I love working in the food ministry. There's nothing quite as rewarding as knowing that somebody is going to eat because you gave. All throughout the Word of God, you want to know why this church is so passionate about giving food? Because all throughout the Word of God, what you see is that God, Jesus, He got everybody together and He fed them over and over and over. That's one of the things that you see most in the Word of God is He just loved to feed people. He loved to see them eating. He loved for there to be more than enough. He loved to feed people. Yes. See, and I want to do what God did. Why? Because He said, whatever you've seen me do, you can do greater. Because see, I'm going to the Father, so I'm giving you permission to act in my stead. So the other day I'm here working. How many of you know it's decided to rain its rear end off here in Logan County? I love rain, but when I got things to do, I'm not in the mood for that. So here I am, ma'am, and I'm trying to work this food. I'm trying to help people, and we're up in the food. Now, God's been telling me for quite some time that I need to slow down in certain things. Look here. I'm like everybody else. God tells me some things, and I'm like, Lord, I'm not listening. No, not going to do it. No, I'm going to be rebellious. No, Lord, I'm not going to slow down. I'm going to keep doing it because I'm doing a good thing. Look here, many people died right in trying to do a good thing. Many people have some of their most worst decisions in the middle of doing a good thing. So you best be doing what God's telling you to do. So here I am working. I got this car, and it's supposed to do several things. One of the things it's not supposed to do is let me lock my keys in the car. Praise the Lord. I lose my keys about 37 times an hour. And I hate when I do that, but it's just the facts. So I'm helping this sweet lady, and we're getting this food in. It was actually Miss Monday, who's my piano teacher. So I like to give her extra food to make up for the fact that I'm a terrible piano student. There's no musical abilities going on there. I really just like her company, really, is what it is. She's very inspirational. And I like to be around inspirational people. So I pay her $15 an hour to let me clank around on the piano. So we're here, and I set those keys. I got them, and I set them in the back. And I push the button. There goes the trunk. Right when I did it, I was like, ooh. My purse is in the car. My keys are in the car. My phone's in the car. The church is wide open. And I'm locked out of this car. And instantly, I'm getting irritated. Because I'm like, Lord, you know I'm not an outside girl. And you know it's raining. Why did you let this happen to me? I'm doing something for you, Lord. Look here, he said, Kelly, you did it to yourself. Thank you, God. So I'm hot-headed. I thought a little rain's going to just cool me down. Okay, Lord. So what do? Walk home in the rain. And not just a simple walk. Everybody that passed me knew I was agitated. Nobody better even ask me if I want to ride home. Because nope, I want to make a scene up in here in Paris. I want everybody to know I'm agitated. So I get there and I fling that door open and I said, Jeremy, get my keys. He said, woman, you have your keys. I said, no, I don't. I lock myself out, and I hate to admit those silly things that I do because I don't need anything else making me look any crazier to him than I am. And it seems like every time I turn around, I'm looking crazier to him, and he always looks sane. The man never has a moment where he looks insane, and I'm like, man, at some point, he's going to start questioning what he did to himself. Calm, collected Jeremy. He goes, okay, sweetie. This is what he said. If I'm lying, I'm done. He goes, sweetheart, you're just a little too busy. And I'm going to tell you this. I'm not giving you your spare key. Because you're going to do this again. I'm keeping this key. And then he said this, and it made me laugh because I'm like, man, he's trying to do some psychology on me. That ain't going to work. He goes, when you are at a point where you can receive information, which is not now, I will show you how to work the safe so you can do this for yourself next time. Because I'm working right now. And I said, what do you mean at a point when I can receive information? I can receive it right now. He goes, no, you can't. And I'm not going to waste my breath trying to teach you how to work the safe. Because you're going to have that messed up too. But look here. listen to God. Know that you've got authority and know that the devil's looking to mess you up. You have an enemy. He's called your adversary. He's walking around. He's roaming around seeking whom he can mess up, seeking whom he can devour. He only comes to do three things: kill, steal, and destroy. If he can do those in your life and wreak havoc in your life, that's what he's going to do. It's time for the believer to sober up spiritually. Quit drinking on your problems. Give those problems to God and be the person that you were supposed to be. Amen. So in Matthew chapter 17 and verse 14, see, it says at that moment that demon came out. At the moment of the rebuke. At the moment of the rebuke. Next place for me is Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 35 through 41. And it says, that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. And I want to say this in the most respectful, humble possible way that your pastor could say this. For some of you, it's time for you to cross over to the other side with some things. Diana, sweetie, we in Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. Diana's looking at me like I got three heads. I love when people bring the word with them. You know why? Because they want to read it for themselves. It's not just enough for me to read it to you. You best get in the word. So Mark chapter 4 verse 35, and that day when evening came, he said to his disciples, let us go over to the other side. See, we live in a world where we are defined by our surroundings, where we are happy one minute and low the next. We are up and down, up and down, up and down. Look here, the word of God wants you just consistent. He has that place for you. He said, I'm going to lead you beside some very still waters. What are still waters? Peace. Calm. See, God never meant for his kids to be in an uproar emotionally all the time. He says, my peace I give you, not as the world gives. And so it says, leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. And there were also other boats with him. And a furious storm came up and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. And the disciples woke him and said to him, teacher, don't you care if we drown? Don't you care if we drown? I want to tell you this morning that God cares exactly what you're going through. If you're hurting in here this morning, God cares for you. If you're stressed in here this morning, God cares. If you're weary, if you're depressed, if you're sad, if you're angry, if you're grieving, I want to tell you, if you don't hear anything else that I say, I want to tell you that God cares. I want to tell you that He cares. He cares. But just as He slept in the storm, see, he was at total peace. Total peace. One of the lessons in life that we all must learn is to stay in a state of total peace when that storm comes to us. Total peace. It's hard when you're in the middle of the battle to keep your peace. Just because something's hard doesn't mean it's not the right thing to do. Look here, God's got a place of total peace. It's not an accident that when you lay your head down at night, all that stuff just comes to your mind and you can't shut it off. All the things that's bothering you, all the stuff that you're worried about, all the things that he, she said that's irritated you, all the disappointing things. See, the devil loves to steal your peace. He loves to steal your joy. He loves to steal your rest. See, God's wanting somebody in here tonight to just rest. rest in who He is. Rest in who He is. And it says, teacher, don't you care if we drowned? And look here, don't ever ask God if He cares, because let me tell you something. Oh, how He loves you. How He loves His kids. Loves us all so much that He says, now that's my kid and they're holy. And not only are they holy, but they're set apart. Not only are they set apart, but I call them by name. Life has a habit of getting very real in an instant. Of having devastation in an instant. Having an issue in an instant. Having something change in your life in an instant. Look here. God is in every instant. He is in every moment. He is in every season of your life. I want you to leave this place knowing you have the control. You have the dominion. Is something bothering you? Is something stressing you? It's time to stand up and say, look here, in Jesus' name, I bind that off of my life right now. I bind it off. God, I loose your peace in this heart of mine that's troubled. Lord, right now, God, I invite everything that you are, and God, I give you everything that I am. God, everything I'm not proud of. God, every mistake, every issue, every one of my hang-ups. God, I give it to you right now. If you're having trouble forgiving somebody, God, right now, I give you that unforgiveness, and God, I accept right now your forgiveness. God, I ask that you'd pour it into me so I can pour it out of me. And so it says that he got up and he rebuked the wind. See, God is a God of detail. Lucas, he didn't rebuke the storm. He rebuked the wind in the storm. He got up and he rebuked the wind and he said to the waves, quiet, be still. Be still. See, when the waves of your life, when they're coming up over that boat, see, and it's getting you all wet, and it's getting you all flustered, and you're sad, and you're happy, and you're mad, and you're in that thing. Look here. God's looking for you to do one thing. Stand up. Stand up, child of God, and talk to it. Stand up and talk to it. Tell it. Look here. Be still in Jesus' name. Be still in Jesus' name. I want to tell you, when I was a kid, teenage girls, they go through this thing. We all want to look skinny. Don't matter how skinny you are, we all think we can get skinnier. You learn later in your life, you don't, usually. And so my dad decided that it was a good thing to take all of us girls that were still living at home on a rafting trip. That was not a good idea. For multiple reasons. But we get there. And there were some teenage boys there. I've always been that person that wants to look their best, especially in front of the boys. And I said, the guy goes, now, hon, this is the size life jacket that you need. I said, that one's too snug. It's going to make me look fat. I want the other one. And I just argued with him and argued with him and argued with him. He just let in. He said, look here, I'll wear you down. That's Jeremy. I just wore him down. He said, okay, take that one. So I put it on. And we get up in there. And I am not the best swimmer. Okay? Never have been. You'd ask my mama. She has tried to teach me multiple times. It's just not how it is in my life. So I'm over there, and life is good. We paddle in the boat. We enjoying the scenery. I'm looking at these boys. And all of a sudden, the water picks up. The current picks up. And we flip this big old balloon-like raft. And I'm up in the water. And here's my view. Here's what's going on. My arms fly up like this. And I'm in and out of that jacket. I'm in and out of that life jacket. Coming in and out of it. Coming in and out of it. Let me tell you something. Know who you are. Know who you are. See, when life hits, when the storm hits, you best have on the thing that's going to fit you. That thing is Jesus. It's nothing else. It's nothing else. It's not your mama. It's not an addiction. It's not alcohol. It's not drugs. It's not overspending. It's not this and it's not that. Look here. The only thing that's going to fit you like a glove, that's going to keep you, that's going to sustain you, is the living God. And look here. In and out of that jacket, Keisha. In and out. In and out. In and out. Water. Get my breath. Dad's going, get the paddles. And I'm going, get me. You know? I mean, I don't care how much the paddles are. I need some gotten up here. You know? But let me tell you something. I learned right there, Aunt Patty, look here. You best have on the thing that fits you. See? You can't be looking at everybody else. You can't be concerned about everybody else and what they thinking about you. Look here. At that moment, did it really matter if I looked fat or not? No. It mattered if I lived or not. I got up out of there and I said, well, first of all, I ain't never going rafting again. Second of all, I'm going to make sure the next time I wear one of these puffy jackets, everybody's looking fat, and I'm going to realize I need the one that fits me. But let me tell you something. You get up there in that storm and you say, Daddy God, what do I say to it? What do I say to the storm? You know what? Get up and say, in Jesus' name, you're going to stop this. You're going to stop this. You're going to stop coming against my life. You're going to stop coming against my family. You're going to stop coming against my mental state, my emotions, my household, my finances. See, at the word, Elijah said, it's not raining till I say. Look here. A lot of people, their problem is they ain't saying nothing. And they thinking, it's all God's fault. Look here, it ain't God's fault. You need to open that mouth and you need to say, I command you, Satan, in the name of the Lord. You're going to pick up every stumbling block that you set before me. You're going to stop doing this in my life. You're going to take your hands off of my kids. You're going to take your hands off my finances. You're going to take your hands off of everything that you got your hands dipped up into. See, God gave you dominion from the very moment He created you. From the very moment He created you, He gave it to you. He gave it to you. Take it. Take it. You've got that authority. You've got that power. And so it says here that He got up and He rebuked the wind and He said to the waves, quiet, be still. And then the wind died down and it was completely calm. And He said to His disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? See, when has He ever been late for you? He's never been late. A lot of times when we get up in the thick of the battle, the thick of the trial of our faith, we're looking around and God's proved Himself a million times over. And we're saying, God, what are we going to do? Lord, are you going to come through? Look here. It's time to change that way of thinking into let your yes be yes and let your no be no. God, you've never been late. God, right now, I choose to rest in the middle of this storm that I'm going through. God, I give you control. Lord, I give you every single thing, God, that's holding me up. God, right now, Lord, I receive your peace. God, that passes all understanding. God, when I want to get worked up, God, I'm going to let it go. God, when I want to be stressed, when I want to be mad, when I want to hold that bitterness in at that person, God, I'm not going to do that anymore. See, God's given you everything that you need to get through the battle that you face. He's given you everything that you need. The devil always wants you to look at yourself and size yourself up. Well, I don't have this. I can't make it. Yes, you can. If you don't have it, God's given it to you. If you're coming up short, He's making up the difference. But He wants you to know who you are. He wants you to have a sure foundation of exactly who you are. Mark chapter 9, verse 14. And when they came to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and the teachers of the law arguing with them. And as soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. And he says, "What are you arguing with them about?" A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth and he gnashes his teeth and becomes rigid. And I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." "O unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long should I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him the boy, and when the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion. Look here. Demons tremble at the sight of who your God is. They just do. They just do. The moment that they saw him, they started acting up. Look here, demons can't stay in your situation when God's present there. They gotta go. They gotta go. Practice getting in the presence of Almighty God. Get in your prayer closet. Get on your knees. Get out the word of God. Don't get up till you've gotten in his presence. You need to do that every day. When you're driving in your car, you need to have that hand up and say, "God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you that you've sent your angels that's guarding this car right now. God, put me where you want me to be today. God, give me today my daily bread." Look here. Stop worrying about tomorrow. Tomorrow's going to take care of itself. God, give me today. God, give me my marching orders for today. God, help me work out the issues today. And it says that when the demon spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into a convulsion, and he fell to the ground and rolled around foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" And the father replied, "From childhood. It has often thrown him into the fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." See, he was asking for pity. Jesus was looking to make an overhaul in that kid's life. A lot of times we're looking at our situation and we're saying, "God, if you can just calm this down a little bit." No, God wants to take care of the whole thing. Stop asking him for little stuff. Asking for the big thing. What's causing it? See, what was causing that storm? The wind. The wind. That's why he talked to the wind. See, what's causing that issue up in your life? And immediately the boy's father, so it says, "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for him who believes." Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." My unbelief. Many times God wants to do something in your life. There's unbelief there. There's unbelief there. Look here. God can do it. God can do it. Just because in the natural realm everything's saying, "No, this can't happen for you," it doesn't really matter. What I've learned is unless God says no, it's still on the table. It's still an option. It's still an option. A lot of folks out there taking themselves and disqualifying themselves for one reason or another, and God's saying, "Look here, I can make that happen. Do you believe me for that? Do you believe me for that?" I've learned to say, "God, whatever you want to do. Whatever you want to do. God, if you want to make the food ministry bigger than what it is, God, you're going to have to make that happen. Lord, whatever you want to do in this situation." See, what does God want to do in your life? What does he want to do? What's going on in that life where God's waiting for you to stand up and say, "Look here, Satan. You're getting out, and you're getting out right now. You're getting out right now. I'm taking authority that was given to me by God, and you're leaving this situation right now. You'll not come back here and wreak havoc on my life anymore. Mark chapter 16, verse 14. And this is after the crucifixion. This is after the resurrection. And it says, later Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating, and he rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. I want to tell you something. There's times where you got to get a hold of yourself. There's times where I've had to tell myself, Kelly, I just rebuke you. I rebuke you. You're wrong. Look here, there's sins that we all do. We know we're doing them. We know they ain't right. We think we're the only exception to do it, and everybody else is sinning when they do it, but it ain't sin when we do it. Look here, sin is sin. Keisha, there's things in my life, they ain't right. You know what I'm doing? In Jesus' name, God, help me get them out. God, work this problem out of me. Satan, I rebuke that in Jesus' name. Kelly, line up with the word of God. You're not acting right. You're not thinking right. You're not doing right. See, can you rebuke yourself when you're out of line? See, I tell that to my kids all the time. Look here, Carson, when you start getting on orange, you best slow down. Carson, can you feel yourself at school and you're getting to be too much? You're going to have to rein yourself back in. Get a hold of yourself. Look here. Shake yourself. Get a hold of yourself. Tell yourself you're going to line up with the word of God. You are not going to backslide. You are not going to blame God. You are not going to question God. We're going to line up with the word. We're going to line up with the word. Why? Because that's the only thing that you can stand on. That's it. You got to stand on the word. And so it says here, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people and they will get well. Look here, you've got authority that you're not using. You've got it. God has equipped you. He's made you in His image. He told you, the things that you've seen me do, you're going to do them, but they're going to be greater than what you've seen me do. Why? Because see, He left and He went to a place to go prepare for us. And He left us down here in charge of it. And see, every time a storm comes through your life, you can't lay down and just die. You got to get yourself up. Why? Somebody's depending on you to get yourself up. They're going to need some help when their storm comes. They're going to need you to lift out your hand, raise them up, get them up out of there. See, in His name. You know why a lot of times I steer away from doing my shenanigan? Because look here, Aunt Patty, there's souls in the balance. There's souls in the balance of that. There's either going to be power when I lay my hands on somebody, or there's not. God's either going to help me get out behind this pulpit and preach in power and anointing, or He's not. See? You have dominion. You have authority. You have power. At your word, God will make things happen. God will make things happen. If you're in something this morning and you say, you know what? I'm trying to work myself up out of this. I'm struggling. I'm having issues. I'm trying to get up out of this. I know that there's some things that I need to address. There's some things that I need to rebuke in my life. They've been here for a long time. I need them gone. I'm going to ask you to stand. Because look here, the word tells tells you, get a hold of it. The word tells you, you got some power that you're not using. The word tells you that you're fearfully and wonderfully made. But you got to speak. You got to open that mouth and you got to look that problem right in the eye and you got to tell it, look here, you're leaving. You're leaving. And you're leaving right now. Every angel in heaven is backing you up. Every angel in heaven is backing you up. Look here. Every devil in hell seeing that you're going to get a hold of them. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I thank you, Father God, for every single person, Lord, that's in your house. God, I speak right now the peace of God that passes all understanding. God, I thank you for the power and anointing. God, you've called each of them by name. Lord, you know exactly who they are. So, God, right now, Lord, I loose breakthrough all over the place. God, I loose power. God, more power, God, in Jesus' name. And, Lord, I thank you right now. God, that they're speaking to that mountain. God, even as I pray this prayer, Lord, we're speaking to those things that's had a hold of us. And right now, we tell them to be loosed off in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you for who you are. God, I ask you to walk up and down each and every single aisle right now. God, I ask that you'd fill them with your presence. God, for the ones that came in here, Lord, and they're hurting, God, I ask for comfort right now in Jesus' name. Lord, every tear that's been shed in private, God, I ask that you'd give them joy. God, every stress, Lord, I thank you right now. We speak to those mountains, we speak to that storm, and we tell it to be quiet and to be still. In Jesus' name, amen. Y'all be blessed. We'll be having service at 5:30. There is plenty of food. There's boxes of food. There's boxes under the tables. You can fill.